In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to
talk movies. Alan Adams from The Main Edge here with us. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema, 10557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Happy Monday, Mr. Adams.
Happy Monday to you, too. How are you?
I am very well. I'm cold. Well, sure. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
cold.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
And think about it this way. We're only like 4 months away from spring.
That's fantastic. You can almost smell it. You had a good weekend, I hope?
I did. It was... It felt busy. I don't know that it actually was busy, but it felt busy. Had some stuff going on, but watched some football, ate some snacks, wrote some things, saw some movies. Could have been worse.
There you go. Football was good this weekend.
It was good. Yeah, there were a couple of really good ones in there. It's funny. I actually had an extended exchange with a dear friend of mine who's a lifelong Eagles fan, and I had to sort of extend my condolences to him.
But, I did that too. Yeah. Oh, well, that's going to happen, I guess.
Well, sure. I mean, it's there are literally 31 teams in the NFL that are going to struggle with this from time to time. And then there's one that doesn't, but that's okay. That time is coming.
Now, I didn't look closely. How about kibbles and picks this weekend?
Well, we actually, we're all square on that one.
Ah, okay.
Because she picked the Colts to beat the Chiefs, and I picked the Eagles to beat the Saints. But other than that, we were right. We both went with the Rams. We both went with the Patriots. So, but I have a hunch she might break her old man's heart this weekend.
Oh.
But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Well, let's talk movies. Yeah, you got to see three this weekend: Replicas, Dog's Way Home, and On the Basis of Sex.
Yeah. Let's go in descending order. We'll start with On the Basis of Sex.
All right.
For those who are unaware, it's a biopic about the early days of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legal career. So we first encounter her when she's one of the handful of women admitted to Harvard Law School in her class. We see her deal with the baked in discrimination in law school. And then we see her deal with that same discriminatory practices when she and her husband have graduated from and are looking for work at law firms. We see her academic career at Rutgers begin, and then we were there for the first case that really sort of opened the door to litigation regarding gender discrimination in the workplace and in other places. As far as our legal system is concerned. And it's pretty much, we're pretty much done by the early 1970s. So it's very much an early career look at Ginsburg, which it makes sense because it's so hard when you're trying to make a movie about someone who's still around.
Right.
You know, it's like it's a very delicate dance that you have to perform. And it's handled fairly well. Mimi Felder, I think her name is, the director. Primarily a television director, but for the past 20 years or so. But she's made a couple of movies that you'd remember. The name that jumped out at me, the last feature she did really before this, which was like almost 20 years ago, she did Pay It Forward. She did. I mean, she did a couple of pretty well received mainstream movies back in the late 90s, early aughts, before transitioning largely to television. But yeah, it's Felicity Jones stars as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she's great. Like she's lovely. I mean, the reality is, like, I don't need to walk you through the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's career. Like, but she's wonderful. She does a great job of sort of capturing that sort of combination of intellect and sort of relentlessness that I think was the sort of defining characteristic of Ginsburg in her early days. The supporting cast is really pretty excellent, actually. Armie Hammer plays Martin Ginsburg, her husband. He's great. Like, he's having a real sort of like a nice little run for himself here in the last year or two. And so it's nice to see him continue along that path. Like, does a great job of You know how in a lot of these sorts of movies, you know, you've got the supportive spouse, but there's something sort of condescending about the support. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and he avoids that trap in a way that not a lot of actors could. So that's a really good performance from him. Other supporting players, Justin Theroux is in this as the head of the ACLU. Sam Waterston plays the dean of Harvard Law.
Nice.
And is exactly the guy you want to be the sort of dismissive, like, Harvard Law dean in the 1950s. Stephen Root shows up for a couple of great scenes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just a wonderful cast. It's and it's a good movie, but it's not a great movie. Hmm. I'm not sure why that is. I can't really put my finger on it. Like, because the performances are really solid, and it's obviously a compelling subject matter. But for whatever reasons, the pieces just don't quite fit together as cleanly as you want them to. It feels like a little formulaic. It feels like almost like they tried to shoehorn this particular story into the basic sort of biopic structure.
Well, she's an interesting subject because she's had an amazing career. But even in the documentary about her, RBG, they talk about the fact that, you know, she was sort of the quiet one who focused on doing the work. Her husband had the sense of humor and was the outgoing guy. She would prefer to just be, you know, going through law books.
Yeah, and it's... And it makes, but you know, but that doesn't necessarily make for a particularly compelling movie.
Right.
And so you have to, you know, find that balance between, you know, veracity versus narrative, you know, engagement and whatever. And they do a pretty good job, but ultimately it's just, it just doesn't quite. And again, like, I don't mean to imply that this is anything other than a good movie, because it is a good movie, but it's not a great movie. It's not the sort of, you know, award contender type prestige movie that I think was probably the intent.
Right.
It just doesn't quite get to that level. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, I mean, it's just the reality of the thing. Again, good, not great.
All right. What's number two on our list?
A Dog's Way Home. Full disclosure, I'm a dog lover, dog person. Like, there's no one who's spent any time with me doesn't know that I have a real connection with dogs.
And is this the same, based on the work of the same guy that did A Dog's Purpose?
Okay, so here's the deal. It is a W. Bruce Cameron book.
Who we've had on the show, good guy.
Yep, but it's not a sequel to A Dog's Purpose. It's a separate thing, because the sequel to A Dog's Purpose is A Dog's Journey, which is coming later this year.
Okay.
Just so we're clear.
All right, I got you on that.
But yeah, it's pretty boilerplate stuff. Like, it's the basic gist is, this dog named Bella, who's voiced by Bryce Dallas Howard.
All right.
she's the only animal in the thing that we get the inner monologue. It's not like a talking dog, but like it's basically a voiceover narration. She is.
I'm licking myself because I can.
She's adopted by a young man in Denver, Colorado, who's an animal shelter volunteer and works at the VA. The VA where his veteran mom is a patient, played by Ashley Judd. Ashley Judd is here. He gets into a scrap with a local developer who calls the cops on his dog and claims that the dog is dangerous and a pit bull mix. And Denver apparently is one of those cities that has one of those weird, like, you know, anti-pit laws, which is stupid. Like, I mean, that's what is ridiculous. And so they come up with this plan to move Bella to their friend's aunt's house in New Mexico until they can find a place outside of the city limits so the dog can safely live there. But in the process, the Bella escapes and basically is like, I'm going to go home. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's kind of far from New Mexico to Denver, Colorado. And the movie is basically the trials and tribulations of her journey and her efforts to get home. And like, spoilers, no spoilers. I'm glad I knew going in, so I think you'll be glad knowing going in. She does make it home.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Because I don't want to watch it if she doesn't.
Nope, I'm not even the least bit interested in that kind of movie. But yeah,
I don't need another Marley in me. Okay?
Exactly. You know, and it's wonderful in that you know, it's. The vibe I got was like, and you remember the Benji movies?
Oh, sure.
It had that kind of vibe to it, where it's like, okay, it's, you know, it's the dog wandering through the hills and occasionally encountering other dogs, and then occasionally encountering people. At one point, there's an extended sequence where Bella becomes the surrogate mother to an orphaned mountain lion kitten.
Sure.
So there's that for a little while.
Okay.
She winds up tied to a homeless Edward James Olmos for a stretch. Yeah, that's the thing about these movies. Like, they're very like heartstring tugging and whatever. But there's this vague like morbidity sort of percolating under the surface. Like, there are a couple of pretty bleak subplots in this movie that I'm not going to go into too much detail on. But suffice it to say, things don't necessarily always go great for Bella, and you know, and the people and other animals that she, with which she surrounds herself. But yeah, like, what am I going to say? Like, did I cry? Yeah, absolutely. Like 5 or 6 times.
Of course,
like,
you did.
During
the credits, probably.
Like, just a weepy baby. Just like, you know, and it's, you know, and on our way in, like, Sheridan was like, oh, hold on a second, and just goes over and just like grabs a handful of napkin. I'm like, oh yeah, no, that is a very good idea, because like, it's like every other, like every music swelling moment, I'm just like, oh, Bella, I hope you get it home. I hope you find your way home. Like, even though I know you're going to, I'm just like, oh gosh, what's going to happen?
Should we go home and check on Stella?
Oh God. You know, you go home and you like snuggle with your own dog and you're like, I hope you can find your way home. It's ridiculous. It's not a great movie, but it's a good movie. And Bella's a good dog because, you know why, Rich? Because all dogs are good dogs.
You're right. All right. And finally, in our trifecta of films, Replicas.
Oh, God, what a piece of trash this was. it stars Keanu Reeves as some sort of neuroscientist who is operating in a secret facility in Puerto Rico.
Because you had me at Keanu is a neuroscientist.
And his whole deal is they're trying to figure out how to map the physical consciousness of the recently deceased into synthetic brains so they can, you know, extend the lifespan of consciousness, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not doing a very good job of it. And so his boss, played by John Ortiz, his boss was known only as Jones, Jones. It's like, he's like, okay, you know, if you don't figure this out, you're going to get fired. So he's like dealing with this, talking to his colleague, who's apparently one of the world's preeminent experts on cloning, played by Thomas Middleditch, because I hear cloning expert, I think Thomas Middleditch.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay, so we're going to do this thing. And then he's got his family there. He moved his family with him. His wife, his 3 kids, and you know, they're one weekend they're gonna go out on a boat, and they're gonna have a family outing, and then tragedy strikes. Rich, there's a terrible traffic accident, and Keanu's the only survivor. I mean, his character's name is William Foster, but we're gonna keep calling him Keanu.
Sure, nobody get hit by a bus though.
No bus. Okay, no bus. The car went off a bridge, and there was a tree, and everybody either got stabbed in the throat by the tree or drowned. So he pulls all the bodies out, and rather than calling the authorities or anything like that, he calls Thomas Middleditch and is like, hey man, so how good are you at that cloning thing? And so they basically steal a bunch of equipment from their workplace and set up a cloning situation in Keanu's garage. And but here's the thing. There's only 3 pods, and there's 4. So he's like, I'm gonna clone my wife, but I have to pick one of my 3 kids to not bring back to life. And Rich,
yeah,
I swear to God, one of them is named Sophie.
Oh my!
And I'm like, is that on purpose? It has to be
on
purpose.
Yes, yes.
But so I'm laughing. Nobody else is laughing, but I'm definitely.
Is the
laughing.
Other one Hobson?
And so you know, he decides which ones which child is not going to make it. Sophie does make the cut. The youngest daughter, Zoe, is the one who is not cloned, and hence somehow erased from the memory patterns that he has taken from his the still cooling corpses of his family. he clones them and he brings them back, and wouldn't you know it, it works. But it turns out that you know, the mysterious facility existing in the jungles of Puerto Rico might not be on the up and up.
Mm.
And so Keanu is forced to come to terms with the fact that he doesn't know who he could trust. And, you know, not only are his is he in danger, but his newly discovered family, you know, reincarnated family is in danger. And he's not going to lose them again, Rich.
is this as bad as it sounds?
It's ridiculous how bad this movie is. It feels like, I don't know, like a money laundering scheme, maybe, or a dare gone wrong. Like there's like the scene at the end of the end of this movie is so ridiculous that for a second I sat there and I'm like, did I just get punked? Is that what just happened? Is this like just an elaborate and unnecessary prank being played on audiences?
Does Fishburne show up?
He does not. Yes, but it's a valid question. But does robot Keanu Reeves show up? Maybe.
How can you tell the difference?
Oh my God. And it's just like the best science fiction is science fiction of ideas, like where they use the sort of genre tropes to explore larger themes that connect to the world that we live in.
Hmm.
That's what you want from science fiction. That is not what you get from Replicas. You get a bunch of nonsense that doesn't make any sense. You get Keanu Reeves trying to make big chunks of jargony exposition makes sense, which I love late period Keanu. Like I love what he's bringing to the table and stuff like John Wick and all that. I love the fact that they're doing another Bill and Ted movie, but like stay in your lane, Keanu. Neuroscientist is not your lane. It's nobody's in their lane in this movie. It's all just a bunch of hastily stitched together, poorly executed nonsense. Like the CGI sucks. The dialogue sucks. The performances suck. Like, everything sucks. Like, Replicas sucks.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge, summing it up concisely. They needed a dog.
Oh, yeah, seriously, bring the dog in, and then you've got me. Like, I visibly light up when there's a dog in a movie.
Pass the popcorn. Every Monday here on Downtown. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Oh, we should mention while you're here,
sure.
Friday night, Focus Group getting back at it.
Yep. First show of 2019. We're going to be at the Bangor Arts Exchange. 8 o'clock, usual time, usual cost. 8 p.m., $5. Going to be fun. Think it's going to be a good one.
Very good. We'll see you Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Alan Adams here on Downtown.